إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue with the series of lectures dealing with the explanation or the sharh of the essay of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, titled Nawaqid al-Islam. The Nawaqid of Islam are many, and they are those things, as we have mentioned in the introduction, whether speech or action or belief, that a person might hold that nullifies one's Islam. It destroys their Islam and their Tawheed and causes a person to go out of Islam after having been a Muslim. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah has mentioned in this essay 10 of those things which, if a person does them, it will take him out of Islam, it will destroy his Islam, it will nullify his Tawheed. He has mentioned 10 of those which are the most important and the most dangerous. And this evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to mention the fourth of them, the fourth of those nullifiers which he has mentioned, and he has entitled it, وَمَنْ اِعْتَقَدَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ حَدْيِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَقْمَلُ مِنْ هَدْيِهِ أَوْ أَنَّ حُكْمَ غَيْرِهِ أَحْسَنُ مِنْ حُكْمِهِ كَالَّذِي يُفَضِّلُ حُكْمَ الطَّوَاغِيتِ على حكمه. من اعتقد أن غير حج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكمل من حجه. The one who believes, who holds the conviction in his heart that the guidance of other than the Prophet, of someone other than the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that their guidance, it is better, more complete and more perfect than the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the guidance of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is that which has been revealed to him in the Quran, the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which he has explained in his speech or in his actions, explaining the Quran in that which we know as the Sunnah. That is the guidance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Quran, the revelation of Allah, and his Sunnah, his example. Here, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab says, whoever believes or holds the conviction that some other guidance, other than that which has been revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, is better than or more perfect and complete than his guidance. أَوْ أَنَّ حُكْمَ غَيْرِهِ أَحْسَنُ مِنْ حُكْمِهِ. Or whoever believes that the ruling or the judgment from other than the Prophet ﷺ, other than the Sharia that Allah has revealed, that any other ruling or judgment is better than the ruling or the judgment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the ruling or the judgment of Islam, that which is. Whoever believes such, as well as those, yani attached to it is the belief of those who hold that it is permissible to accept or to act upon a ruling other than what Allah has revealed. Yani they believe that even if the ruling of Allah and the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better, but it's also permissible to act upon the rulings that are outside of the Sharia. Whoever believes in the permissibility of this, whoever holds that the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ is not the best and most perfect, or his ruling is not the best or most perfect, he said that this person has fallen into disbelief. They have gone out of Islam. They have gone out of Islam, and their Islam is nullified. It is cancelled. And the proof of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 65, فَلَا وَرَبِّكْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَقِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by himself, فَلَا وَرَبِّكْ. Indeed, it is not so. He swears by himself, فَلَا وَرَبِّكْ. Swearing by the Lord of the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Lord of all the world. لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They will never believe, and they cannot have belief. Their belief will not be proper and correct and acceptable, حَتَّى يُحَقِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Until they accept you, and they select you, and they make you as the judge in any disputes that arise between them. Yani they will not have iman. A person's iman will not exist. It will not be correct. It will not be acceptable until they first make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the judge, as the arbiter in every dispute that arises between them. They would not take the dispute to other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not take the dispute to other than the Sharia, the law of Allah, the Quran and the Sunnah. He said, they will not have iman until they make you as the judge between them in their disputes. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. And then they don't find any difficulty or any discomfort with that which you have ruled or that which you have judged. The Prophet ﷺ, when he made a ruling, the person shouldn't find any difficulty. There shouldn't be any haraj. They shouldn't find any discomfort with what he has ruled, but they should be pleased with it. And finally he said, وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, that they submit to it, that they surrender to his ruling and act in accordance with it. يُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, yani full, total, willing submission and surrender to that which the Prophet ﷺ have ruled, according to that which Allah has revealed to him in the revelation, the Quran, and in the revelation which is the Sunnah, his way. When some Muslims have differences with other Muslims, they might resort to seeking arbitration in other than what Allah has legislated, in other than the Sharia. In matters which the Sharia or the divine law of Allah has spelled out in detail. Yani that which the Sharia has ruled upon, then it is not permissible to seek the ruling or the judgment outside of the law of Allah. And such an action as this, turning to other than the Sharia, to seek a ruling in a dispute on the part of someone who claims to be a Muslim, is considered by Islam as a serious error, and it is clear kufr, is disbelief. The person who does so has gone out of Islam. Yani it is an action that takes a person out of Islam. And as we said in the introductory lecture, that we do not rule, we do not make a ruling on someone after they have entered Islam, that they go out of Islam by any action that they have done, or any statement that they have made, or any belief that they hold, until the error that they have cleared to them, until proofs are given to them, and they are shown that what they have done is an error. They are made to know that this is something that nullifies the Islam. And then that person has the chance to retract and to repent from what they have done and to turn back. If that person continues in that which they have said and that which they have done, and holding that belief which is kufr, then that person would indeed go outside of Islam. They would no longer be a Muslim. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, in his sahih, in his authentic collection of hadith, mentions the dispute between Az-Zubayr, radiallahu anhu, and a man from the Ansar, the people of Medina, concerning the watering or irrigation of their lands. Al-Imam al-Bukhari narrated this incident in his sahih to explain what was the circumstances surrounding this verse. Why was it revealed that they will not have iman until they accept you as the judge, as the final authority in any dispute that arises between them? Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah mentions that that ayah was revealed on the occasion of the dispute between Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu, one of the 10 people who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned by name that they are the people of paradise, that they would be in the paradise. It is reported from his son Urwa ibn Az-Zubayr, He said that Az-Zubayr, his father, told me that he quarreled with an Ansari man who had participated in the Battle of Badr in front of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam about a water stream which both of them used for irrigation. Yani it was a stream of water that was shared by both of them. Both of them used to irrigate their land from that water. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Az-Zubayr, أسقي يا زبير ثم أرسل إلى جارك فغضب الأنصاري فقال يا رسول الله أن كان ابن عمتك شكت يعني Az-Zubayr, he told his son that he had a quarrel with this Ansari man who was of the people who participated in the Battle of Badr. And this was in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a ruling between them concerning that dispute, and he said, أسقي يا زبير ثم أرسل إلى جارك. يعني irrigate your land, O Zubayr. Then let the water flow to your neighbor so that he may also irrigate his land. فَغَضِبَ الْأَنصَارِ That Ansari man became angry and he said, O Messenger of Allah, is it because he is your cousin? Is it because he is your relative that you have ruled in his favor against me? The Prophet ﷺ had ruled with the ruling that is fair and just between them, that Az-Zubayr should irrigate his land and then he should let the water go and flow to the land of his neighbor so that he might also irrigate his land after first irrigating his land. But the Ansari man, he didn't accept that ruling. He wasn't pleased with it. He wasn't pleased with that ruling. And he said to the Prophet ﷺ, is it because he is your cousin? Is it because he is your relative that you have ruled in his favor? فَتَلَوَّنَا وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ The Prophet ﷺ face, the color of his face changed. Yani from anger of being accused of being unjust in the ruling, which he has ruled according to the law of Allah. ثم قال أسقي ثم أحبس حتى يبلغ الجدرة He said, water the land. Water your land and then hold the water until the water rises to the height of the wall that is surrounding the date palm trees. And then let it flow to your neighbor for him to irrigate his land. فاستوعى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حينئذ حقه للزبير In that case, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم clarified his ruling, the first statement that he made to water your land and then let it flow to your neighbor so that he may water his land. Here the Prophet ﷺ clarified for him that his right was to water his land until the water reached the level of the wall surrounding his palm trees and then it was the right of his neighbor that his land may also be watered. Then it was his obligation to let the water flow to his neighbor. In the beginning, the Prophet ﷺ left the matter open. Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu could have just watered his land with that which was the bare minimum and then let it flow to his neighbor. Now the Prophet ﷺ made clear to him that in fact it is your right that you may hold the water until it reached the level of your walls, of your palm trees, and then let it flow to your neighbor. And this was the right of Az-Zubayr. It was his full right. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't make that clear to him in the beginning. He left the matter open. If he wanted to let his neighbor take the water quickly, he could do so. Or if he wanted to hold it and take his full right, he could do so. When the Prophet ﷺ heard this statement from the Ansari man that he was displeased with his ruling, then he made clear the right of Az-Zubayr and he ordered him to take his full right before allowing the water to flow to his neighbor. وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ أَشَارَ عَلَى الزُّبَيْرِ بِرَأْيٍ سَاعِيَةٍ لَهُ وَلِلْأَنصَارِ Yani previously the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had made a ruling that was fair and just and generous and beneficial for both Az-Zubayr and his neighbor. But when the Ansari man irritated Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he gave Az-Zubayr's full right according to the clear law of the Sharia. Az-Zubayr رضي الله عنه He said, according to his son Urwa, he said, Wallahi, ma ahsibu hadhihi al-aya nazalat illa fi dhalika. He said, I don't think that this verse was revealed except on this occasion. The dispute between me and the Ansari man in which that man was not pleased with the ruling or the judgment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Imam al-Bukhari says that after he said that, that I don't think that this verse was revealed except in this case. And he said, and that was the verse from Surah An-Nisa, فَلَا وَرَبِّكْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنُهُمْ, to the end of the ayah. That by your Lord, they will never have faith until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the judge in all disputes that arise between them. We should be careful not to think that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has changed his ruling because he was angered by the words of the Ansari man. He has not changed his ruling. But he has clarified the ruling so that Az-Zubair should take his full right that he was entitled to even from the beginning. In actuality, he has only clarified what he meant to Az-Zubair to arrogate his land first and to what extent he could arrogate it before he was required to allow it to go to his neighbor. For this reason, the words of the Prophet ﷺ to Zubair, Asqi ya Zubair, irrigate your land, could have two possible meanings. It could mean either to let your land be watered a little and then let it go to your neighbor, or let it be watered to its full before allowing it to go to your neighbor. And the Prophet ﷺ has merely clarified what he was entitled to. The essence of what is understood from the actual words that are mentioned in this ayah, in this verse in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 65, it is nafyi al-iman, the negation of faith. Yani what is meant by these words, la yu'minuna hatta yuhaqqimuka, that what is meant by these words is that a person's iman is negated, it is cancelled for anyone who does not, number one, take the Islamic law as the final authority in any dispute that is between the people. Whoever doesn't take the Sharia as the final law, then their iman is negated. And likewise, whoever is not pleased with the ruling of the Sharia, whoever is not comfortable with the ruling of Allah in the Quran and in the Sunnah, their iman, if they are not pleased with what Allah has ruled. And number three, whoever does not submit to its rulings with full submission. Whoever does not submit to the ruling of the Sharia, of the Quran and Sunnah, whoever does not accept it and fully comply with it, then that person's iman is cancelled. Such a person does not remain a Muslim. He becomes a disbeliever simply due to his desire to seek arbitration outside of the Islamic law and due to giving preference to any other law over the Islamic system. And this is clearly understood in the saying of Allah in another verse, also in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 60. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Do you not consider and look to those who claim, يَزْعُمُونَ, they claim that they believe in what has been revealed to you and what was revealed before you. Do you not consider those who claim that they believe? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these words, يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا, makes it clear that they are not true believers if they fall into this act of seeking the judgment or the ruling of other than the Sharia of Allah. Do you not look at those who claim that they believe in what has been revealed to you and that which was revealed before you? يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ وَقَدْ عُمِرُوا أَن يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ. They want to seek a ruling or a judgment from the Taghut, while they have been ordered and they have been commanded to disbelieve in the Taghut. Yani, instead of seeking the ruling from the Sharia, from the Quran and the Sunnah, from the Prophet ﷺ, actually it is their desire to seek their judgment when they have a dispute in the Taghut, in the false judges. And the Taghut, according to the scholars, are many also. It is anything that is falsehood, that is outside of the bounds of what Allah has legislated. All of that is taghut, whether it is in worshipping something other than Allah and outside of the bounds of what is allowed, or following someone in a way that is not acceptable. Yani following someone instead of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The taghut, as some of the scholars said, are many, and the most important, the principal ones are Iblis. The first of taghut and the worst of them is Iblis, the Satan, Shaitan, the devil. And whoever calls others to worship himself is a taghut. And whoever is pleased that others worship him, even if he doesn't call others to worship him, but he knows that he is being worshipped and he is pleased with it. Unlike Isa alayhi salam, the Prophet of Allah Jesus. The people are worshipping him, but he is not pleased with that. But the one who is pleased that he be worshipped, that is also Tagut. The one who claims to have knowledge of the unseen, who claims to know that is which is only known to Allah, of the future, or that which is only known to Allah. This is also Tagut. And whoever rules, and who judges by other than what Allah has revealed, these are the principal or primary and tawagit. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they seek the ruling or the judgment from the tagut, from the false judges, instead of from the law of Allah. وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَن يَقْفُرُوا بِهِ And they have been ordered to disbelieve in the tagut, to reject the tagut, not to accept the ruling of a tagut. وَيُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُضِلَّهُمْ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا And it is shaitan who wants to lead them far astray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear that the one who seeks the ruling from tagut, that is the one who is acting in accordance with the desire of shaitan. And it is shaitan, his desire to lead them far astray by accepting the ruling of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Notice that Allah the Most High considers the seeking of judgment outside of his law. Any judgment outside of the law of Allah, he considers it as seeking judgment from a tagut. Any ruling or judgment outside of the sharia is seeking a ruling from tagut. And this tagut encompasses every falsehood, including those five that we have mentioned. And it is incumbent to deny or disbelieve in every tagut in order that a person's iman will be correct, will be complete, and will be acceptable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 257, فَمَنْ يَقْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَقَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ That whoever disbelieves in the tagut, yani whoever first disbelieves in the tagut, rejects the tagut, everything that is falsehood, وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ and believes in Allah, after negating the right of anything other than Allah, then affirming the right of Allah alone, disbelieving in the falsehood and believing in Allah, then that person has taken hold of the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. And Allah is Samiul Alim, He is the one who hears everything and who knows everything. Here there is nafi and ithbat, negation and affirmation. The negation, it is the negation of the tagut or the tawagit, all falsehood. And the affirmation, it is the believing in Allah, iman billah. And this is similar to the negation and affirmation that is required in the shahada, that a person enters Islam through it, la ilaha illallah, because in la ilaha there is negation, negation of anything that should be worshipped other than Allah, and illallah it is affirmation that the worship belongs to Allah alone. Allah has set as a condition for the correctness of one's faith in Him that one must disbelieve in everything besides Him. فَمَيْ يَقْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ It is not sufficient just to believe in Allah, but first you have to reject everything other than Allah. You have to reject and to negate and disbelieve in anything other than Allah. This is the condition that Allah has made for one's iman in Him to be acceptable, that first you must reject iman or the worship of everything other than Allah. And before discussing this ayat completely, there is an issue that some of the scholars have raised concerning whether or not al-iman and al-shirk can be joined together. Can a person have iman and at the same time commit shirk? Some of the scholars said that iman and shirk, they cannot come together in one person. However, this is incorrect. This opinion is refuted by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yusuf chapter 12 verse 106, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُوا أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ وَمَا يُؤْمِنُوا أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ That most of them do not have faith in Allah. They do not believe in Allah, except that along with that, they are also committing shirk. إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ Yani they are committing shirk, and they are also believing in Allah. They are believing in Allah, but they are falling into shirk. Yani they are believing that Allah is the Lord of the world, that He is the creator and the protector and the provider, and yet they are offering worship to other than Allah, or they are ruling by other than the law of Allah, and so on. So that they have, yani, affirmed some type of iman, and at the same time, they have also falling into shirk. It has been authentically reported from Hammad ibn Salama, from Asim ibn Ajud, from Urwa, who said, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, visited a sick person. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu visited a sick person. And he saw that that man had a thread around the upper part of his arm, some kind of thread, something tied around his arm. And he, yani, knew that this person used this as some kind of charm or protection, yani, to prevent harm from coming to them, to him. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he cut that thread and he removed it, and then he recited the verse mentioned above, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ, yani, confirming that the meaning of this ayat is that the people, they say that they believe in Allah and they have some iman, but at the same time they're falling into shirk. In this case, the use of the amulet or something like this, it is minor shirk, as long as the person doesn't believe that this thing in and of itself has a power. But if he believes that it is a means of protection, that through this thing Allah might protect him, then it is minor shirk. And here's what Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was referring to, that that person was a Muslim believing in Allah, but he was also committing a type of shirk by seeking protection from something other than Allah, when Allah is the only protector. It has also been reported authentically from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he said, مَنْ حَلَفَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ أَوْ أَشْرَكَ, that whoever swears by other than Allah, then he has disbelieved or he has committed shirk. Whoever swears by other than Allah. Those who believe in Allah might swear by other than Allah. It is also an act of minor shirk. And it nullifies the perfection of tawheed. However, that person remains with some iman. They are still a believer while they have committed some act of kufr or shirk, yani minor kufr or minor shirk. And this hadith is reported in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah says that it is sahih. Likewise, on the authority of Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna ar-ruqa wat-tama'im wat-tiwala shirkun, that indeed ar-ruqa, yani ruqa is the plural of ruqya, that ruqa, these things, recitation or some type of words that people recite or say, that this, the use of such, it is prohibited in Islam. This ruqa, as well as tamam, amulets, and tiwala, yani some type of spell that the people use in order to make a man to be attractive to a woman, or a woman to be attractive to a man. These things, he said, the Prophet ﷺ said that they are all shirk. Yani they are all shirk. And the people who have iman, they are also falling into these things. And this is another proof that there is no contradiction. Yani that it is possible that a person can believe in Allah and at the same time that person might fall into some act of shirk. And this hadith is reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, and it is sahih. So, Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Jaza'iri, hafallah, may Allah protect and preserve him, in his tafsir of this ayah from Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, verse 106, that they do not believe in Allah. Most of them do not believe in Allah, except that they also commit some act of shirk. He said that Allah is informing His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this ayat about those whom He is calling to believe in Allah and what He to believe in Allah and what He has come with, yani the Quran and Islam, that most of them do not believe in Allah as the Lord and Creator and Provider, yani in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Most of them do not believe in this Tawheed, except that they also worship idols or false gods along with Him. And this is something that is true. It is a standing truth, not only for the pagan disbelievers that the Prophet ﷺ was calling in that time, but it is also up until Yawm al-Qiyamah that there would be people, even from the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ, that would have some iman and they would also fall into shirk. He said in the tafsir of this ayat, if a Jew or a Christian were asked who is the creator, the sustainer, the giver of life and cause, and the one who controls the universe, he would definitely say Allah, or he would say in his language, God, the creator, he would definitely say that, but at the same time he associates something with Allah. And he worships something along with Allah. While he is saying that Allah is the Lord and the Creator and the Provider, he is also worshipping something as a God besides Allah. Such was the condition of the pagan disbelievers whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about in this verse. And likewise, many of the ignorant people from amongst the Muslims supplicate other than Allah and sacrifice to other than Allah, while at the same time they believe in Allah and that which the Prophet ﷺ has brought concerning it, Tawheed, yani Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, or Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat, and they are still worshipping or offering some type of worship to other than Allah. They believe in the resurrection, they believe in the reward of deeds, and they believe in the Islamic legal system. And at the same time, while they are having some iman, they are also falling into shirk. Another of this is the saying of Allah in chapter 6, verse 82. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani another proof that it is possible for kufr or shirk and iman to be joined in one person, is the saying of Allah concerning those who have iman and they mix the iman with shirk. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمَ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُحْتَدُونَ. Yani those who believe and they don't mix or confuse their iman with dhulm. And here dhulm, it doesn't just mean oppression or wrongdoing or injustice, but here it actually means shirk. He said those who believe and do not mix their iman with dhulm, with shirk, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمَ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمَ الْمُحْتَدُونَ. These are those who have security in this life and in the next, and they are those who are guided. They would have the perfect security. As for those who have iman, as the scholars of tafsir and the people of sunnah have said, those who have iman and fall into some acts of shirk, then the security and follow in the next would not be complete and perfect for them, because they might be punished in this world and they may be punished also in the next life. So they would not have perfect security and they would not have perfect hidayah or guidance. Only those who protect the iman and don't mix it with dhulm. The proof that in this ayat, dhulm here, it means shirk, is that the Prophet ﷺ have explained it as such in a hadith reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, where it is reported that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, on the authority of Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when the above verse was revealed, the companions of the Messenger ﷺ, yani when this ayat was revealed, those who do not mix their iman with dhulm, they understood dhulm to mean some type of wrongdoing or injustice or wrongdoing. They felt that nobody is free from some wrongdoing, that everybody does some wrong. And they thought, then how can we escape from this ayat, those who believe and do not mix their iman with dhulm? They were concerned that nobody is free from such. When that ayat was revealed, they said, أَيُّنَا لَمْ يَظْلِمْ. Which of us does not commit some type of dhulm, some kind of wrong? Then Allah revealed the ayah, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, that it is shirk, that is a terrible dhulm, a great dhulm. Here he said that the dhulm, he made it clear that dhulm in this ayah, it means a shirk, that indeed shirk is a tremendous, terrible dhulm. So here it is clear then that it is possible for a person to fall into some act of shirk and at the same time still have some iman. As for the main yani point of this naqid of Islam, that a person turns away from the ruling of Allah and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to seek judgment from other than Allah, yani this is primarily the result of seeking to follow one's desires for some worldly benefit or something that the person is inclined. Therefore, instead of following the law of Allah, they might seek a ruling or a judgment outside of the Sharia. This type of being inclined towards arbitration or seeking judgment outside of the Islamic law, it is indeed the result of following al-hawa, desires, which causes the worldly things to seem attractive. Then the person seeks the worldly things outside of the bounds of what Allah has legislated. Yani when somebody wants to do something that is not allowed in Islam, then they go outside of the Sharia and look for someone to give them a ruling that this is okay, that riba in your situation is okay, that doing such and such in that situation is alright, because in the Sharia it's not allowed. So they have to go to somebody who will give them a ruling that is outside of the law of Allah. Indeed, it is the love of worldly things and giving preference, giving the worldly things preference over the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that becomes the cause of pay from seeking the legal ruling of the Sharia, the legal ruling in what has been legislated by Allah and consequently it leads people astray. As for the saying of Allah, do you not look at those, أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ, يعني do you not consider those? And this ayat, it was revealed in reference to some hypocrites in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as mentioned by al-Tabari in his tafsir. Do you not consider those who claim that they believe in what has been revealed to you and that which was revealed before you? Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he says that this ayat, it is disapproval from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of whoever claims they believe in what he has revealed to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what he has revealed to the previous prophets. May Allah's salat and salam be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the prophets who came before him. They claim that they believe in what has been revealed to the prophets, while at the same time they rulings and judgments from sources other than the Quran and Sunnah. In this way, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says, in this way, indeed, this verse criticizes anyone who turns away from the ruling of Allah and His Messenger, seeking the ruling of falsehood, yani the ruling of a taghut, from anyone besides Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says, and this is the intended meaning here of a taghut, yani seeking a ruling from anyone or anything outside of the law of Allah. In this naqid or nullifier of Islam, there are two main issues that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab is pointing to. One of them is the hadi al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the other one is hukm al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ruling or judgment of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That these two matters cause a person to fall into kufr if they believe or they accept something as being equal to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or his rulings. The first of these two issues, the hadi, the guidance yani of other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it concerns anyone who holds the belief that the guidance of someone else is more perfect and complete than the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This indeed is a great and dangerous issue, which will cause the one who holds such a belief to end up in the hellfire, since such a belief is in direct conflict with that which has been transmitted from the Quran and Sunnah and that which the intellect will accept. It is contradictory to the manqul, that which has been transmitted by revelation in the Quran and Sunnah, and it is also in contradiction to the ma'qul, that which is acceptable to the intellect. It is not acceptable. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say in the khutbah on Friday, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ خَيْرُ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرُ الْحَدِيِّ حَدْيُ مُحَمَّدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That indeed the best of speech, it is the book of Allah. The best of speech is in the book of Allah. And the best of hadith, the best of guidance, is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hence, there is no doubt or uncertainty about the fact that the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the most perfect guidance, since indeed it is revelation that is revealed to him. Yani the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he has said and what he has done and what he has approved of, it is also revelation. It is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, what could be better than the guidance that he has brought? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Najm, chapter 53, verse 4, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيِ يُوحَى يعني مَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't speak from his desires. He is not making ijtihad, guessing or trying to figure out what is right. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيِ يُوحَى. It is only revelation that is revealed. Whatever he says, it is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the Qur'an, that is the revealed word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his actions and his approvals, it is also revelation that is revealed from the Lord of the worlds. How can anybody who has sense, not to mention someone who has knowledge of the Qur'an or Sunnah, just the person who has an intellect, how could they prefer the guidance of someone other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his guidance, it is the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and both of them are revelation from the one who is all-knowing and all-wise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. For this reason, those scholars whose consensus is to be considered have unanimously agreed that the Sunnah is the second fundamental of the fundamentals of the Islamic legislation, and also that the Sunnah is independent in legislating laws and rules, and that the Sunnah is like the Quran in regards to declaring what is lawful and unlawful. Yani the rules and laws can independently come from the Sunnah. It is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is equal to the Quran in declaring that which is lawful or unlawful, there being no difference to that which is made lawful in the Quran or that which is declared to be lawful in the Sunnah. It is for this reason that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, on the occasion when Umar came to him and said, "Verily we hear some sayings from the Jews which are attractive to us." And some things that they say, it sounds good. Do you think that we should write down some of them? Yani should we write them down so that we can benefit from them? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Amutahawwiquna antum kama tahawwakat al-yahud wa al-nasara?" Yani are you mutahawwiqun, confused in your deen? Yani undecided, not knowing which way to go, wavering between this and that? "Amutahawwiquna antum كَمَا تَحَوَّكَتَ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى." Just as the Jews and Christians were undecided, indecisive. Yani they were not able to stick to that which Allah has revealed alone. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَقَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِهَا بَيْضَاءَ نَقِيَّةً وَلَوْ كَانَ مُوسَى حَيًّا مَا وَصَعَهُ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعِي. He said, indeed, I have come to you, yani with it, yani meaning the revelation, the deen, the guidance. I have come to you with it, bayda, white, naqiyya, pure, uncorrupted. If Musa, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, walau kana Musa alayhi salam hayyan, even if Musa was living, it wouldn't have been allowed for him. He wouldn't have had any option except to follow me. This hadith is reported from Jabir radiyallahu anhu in the Musnad Imam Ahmed, and Shaykh al-Albani declared to be sahih in Mishkat al-Musabi. And there are other similar narrations, yani with the same meaning. Therefore, the Sharia, the legal system of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is the best and it is the most complete and perfect. And for that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it to be the abrogation of whatever came to the prophets before. Yani the law of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam abrogates the previous laws. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, it is reported that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, "Ahabbu al-adyan ila Allah," yani which way, which sharia, which law it was the best to Allah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ahabbu al-adyan ila Allah al-hanifiyya al-samha," that the best way, the most beloved of the adyan, of the ways of life, that which is most beloved to Allah, it is al-hanafiyya al-samha. Yani it is the way of Islam, the way of Hanafiya, inclining towards truth and away from falsehood. The upright way, or the tolerant way of life, as-samha. It is the best. There is nothing better than this. Therefore, it doesn't make sense that anyone should look for or accept the guidance other than the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, and Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, said that it is an acceptable hadith due to other chains of narration. Yani it is hasan li ghayrihi. In light of this, how can the guidance of someone else be more perfect and complete than the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can it be, while he, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith reported by Ad-Darimi in his Sunan, and it is in Al-Mishkat Al-Musabi and Shaykh Al-Albani, declared to be hasan? The Prophet is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam swore by Allah, "Walladhi nafsi biyadihi, law kana Musa bayna azharikum thumma ittaba'tumuhu wa taraktumuni la dalaltum dalalan ba'ida." That I swear by the one in whose hand is my life, I swear by Allah that if Musa alayhi salam, one of the greatest of the prophets of Allah, that if he had appeared amongst you, if he came today amongst you and you followed him and you abandoned me, indeed you would have gone far astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and that which makes it clear that He has favored the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He has perfected the deen for them and completed His favor upon them, "Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, that indeed today I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you and chosen for you al-Islam as your way of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has perfected. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. It is Allah who has perfected our deen, the deen of Islam. And He is the one who has completed His favor in completing, giving the guidance, the perfect guidance that is complete and has the way for everything. Every aspect of life is covered. And it is Allah who said that He is pleased with al-Islam as a deen, as a way of life for humanity. So whatever Allah is pleased with for us, then we are pleased with it, since it is the deen which He loves and which He is pleased with, and He has sent the best of the messengers with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran chapter 3 verse 19, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that indeed the religion or the way of life with Allah, it is Islam. And He said further on in the same chapter, chapter 3 verse 85, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, that whoever seeks other than Islam as a deen, whoever seeks other than that which has been brought by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever seeks other than that, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا, as a way of life, فَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ, then it will be never accepted. It will never be accepted from him after, in the akhirah, مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, he will be of those who are the losers. Therefore, whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, whoever seeks a way of life, the guidance other than that which has come through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed he is of those amongst the disbelievers. The second issue, it is the ruling of other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ahkam, other than the ahkam of Islam. This is concerning anyone who holds the belief that the rulings or judgments of someone else are better than the rulings or the judgments of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An example of this is the person who prefers the rulings or judgments of those leaders who rule by other than the law of Allah. Yani who prefer the rulings and judgments of those who rule by other than the law of Allah over the rulings or judgments of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a person has fallen into kufr according to the agreement or the ijma of the Muslim scholars. In this category are those who prefer man laws of the unjust rulers over the rulings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are considered to be disbelievers due to their giving preference to the laws of men like themselves, or who might even be less than them, over the rulings of the Messenger of the Lord of the worlds, the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent as a guide for all the worlds and for the purpose of removing the people from the darkness of kufr and shirk to the light of Islam and Iman and Tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ibrahim chapter 14 verse 1, Alif Lam Ra Kitabun Anzalnahu Ilayka Litukhrija An-Nasa Min Adh-Dhulumati Ila An-Nur Bi-Izni Rabbihim Ila Siratil Aziz Al-Hamid, that this is a book which we have revealed to you in order to lead the people out of darkness, لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ, to take the people out of kufr and shirk and misguidance, إِلَى النُّورِ, to the light of Islam and Tawheed, بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ, by the permission of their Lord, إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ, to the way of the one who is mighty and the one who deserves all praise. It is necessary that every Muslim, man and woman, know that the judgment of Allah and His Messenger has precedence and preference over every other judgment. There is no issue which might appear amongst the people, except that it must be referred back to the judgments and the rulings of Allah and His Messenger. Therefore, anyone who seeks the judgment of anyone other than Allah and His Messenger has indeed fallen into disbelief, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayah which we mentioned earlier, Surah An-Nisa chapter 4, verse 60, أَلَمْ تَرَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, that do you not look at those who claim that they believe in that which has been sent down to you and that which has been sent down to those before you. Those who claim to believe. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is negating, He is refuting their claim of Iman, that indeed they do not have Iman. And why? It is because they want to seek a rule from the Taghut, from the false judges, from falsehood, instead of seeking the judgment from the law of Allah, while they have been ordered to disbelieve in the Taghut. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the same section of Surah An-Nisa, the other ayat which we have mentioned, that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned in the beginning of this chapter, فَلَا وَرَبِّكْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَقِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجْرَ بَيْنُهُمْ, that I swear by your Lord that they will not believe and they will not have faith and iman until they make you as the judge in all disputes between them and find in themselves no difficulty or resistance from your decisions or that which you have ruled, and they accept them with full submission and in obedience and compliance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by himself that they can have no faith until they fulfill three things or three conditions, that they make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the judge in all affairs. حَتَّى يُحَاقِمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجْرَ بَيْنُهُمْ, yani they will not have iman until first they make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the judge in all their disputes. And the second, they find in themselves no resistance or difficulty with what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has decided. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِّنْ مَا قَضَيْتُ, whatever you have decided, they accept it and they don't find any difficulty with it and they don't seek to resist it. وَيُسَلِّمُ التَّسْلِيمَ, and that they accept his rulings and judgments with full submission, obedience and compliance. Yani they must accept the Prophet ﷺ as the judge in all affairs and accept his ruling when he rules without any resistance and submit to it with full submission. How could any intelligent person be pleased with being subjected to the judgments of men, rulings which are derived from the rubbish of their intellect, from the ideas of human beings, instead of the judgments or rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he has revealed to his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to remove the people from darkness to light. Not only that, but additionally the rulings of men are based upon injustice and tyranny, king the wealth of others wrongfully through bribery or injustice or oppression. If we look at what has befallen the nations of the world today that have gone outside of the laws of Allah and the Sharia of the Prophet ﷺ, and have been pleased with the man-made laws instead, we will see that oppression has become common, the common way amongst them. Falsehood and corruption has spread amongst them without any criticism, rejection or disapproval. The young people are raised upon this way, and the old people become old and senile upon this way until their very nature and instinct is changed, until the people begin to accept this way as though it is okay, as though there is no problem with it and nobody says a word about it. They live the lives of animals, and this is the way of life of anyone who goes outside of the rulings and judgments of Allah and His Messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 44, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَهُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ, that whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, such are the disbelievers. And here, according to the explanation of many of the scholars, including that which has been authentically reported from Abdullah ibn Abbas, and it has been mentioned, radiallahu anhuma, it has been mentioned in the tafsir of Imam al-Tabari and al-Hafiz ibn Kathir and al-Baghawi, al-Imam al-Shawkani, and so many of the books of tafsir, and the scholars of the people of Sunnah have confirmed the authenticity of his interpretation of this ayat, that whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then they are kafirun. It means kufr duna kufr. It means a kufr that is less than the major kufr. It is not the kufr, disbelief, that takes a person out of Islam, but it is the kufr that is from one's actions, sinful actions. And some of the scholars have explained in the books of tafsir and the scholars of sunnah that this verse and the following verses, which are similar to it, whoever doesn't rule by what Allah has revealed, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّمُونَ and أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ, that these verses should be joined together and it should be understood that the one who doesn't rule by what Allah has revealed is either a kafir, or either a zalim, an oppressor, wrongdoer, tyrant, or either a fasiq, a sinful, disobedient person, depending on their condition and the way they view and the belief that they have in their heart concerning the law of Allah. The ruling by what Allah has revealed and the belief that the rulings and judgments of the Prophet ﷺ are better than the rulings of anyone else is one of the requirements of the shahada of La ilaha illallah, that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Indeed, the conditions of Shahada, as Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned in a small essay, that he has mentioned seven: al-ilm, wal-yaqeen, wal-ikhlas, wal-sidq, wal-qubool, wal-iqiyad, wal-muhabbah, wal-muhabbah. From amongst these conditions, that a person who says La ilaha illallah should say it having knowledge, knowing what they are saying, and having yaqeen, certainty, believing in it without doubt, and ikhlas, and sidq, that they are saying it sincerely for the sake of Allah and truthfully. And they should also say it with qubool, accepting whatever comes with it, and mahabba, loving that word and what it means. And in qiyad, it means that the person surrenders themselves to whatever is required after saying La ilaha illallah, yani obedience to Allah's law and whatever He has revealed. Therefore, whoever claims that the rulings or judgments of anyone other than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better than his rulings or judgments, then that one has not understood the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Rather, he has come with that which contradicts its meaning. Since al-inqiyad, full compliance and willing submission, it is one of the conditions for the acceptability and the correctness of the statement of La ilaha illallah. Indeed, the heavens and the earth were founded upon this great principle of La ilaha illallah. And it is because for the sake of this word of La ilaha illallah that messengers were missioned, and that the scriptures were revealed, and jihad was legislated of preserving this word of La ilaha illallah, the statement of a tawheed, that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. It is due to this statement and this principle being recognized or denied that people are divided into shaqi, the one who is unfortunate or unhappy, headed for the hellfire, and sa'id, the one who is fortunate, who is headed for paradise, based on who recognized and accepted or rejected this word. Therefore, whoever knows this great principle and lives according to it, fulfilling all of its conditions and pillars, then such a one declares himself free from the judgments of other than Allah and His Messenger. Indeed, we're living in a different time, and this time is the time of slackness and weakness and indifference, where the people are not concerned about such important matters as what we are discussing this evening, the condition of the one who rules or who accepts the ruling or seeks the ruling of other than Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today the people have substituted in the place speech of Allah and His Messenger and the rulings and judgments of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have taken in its place the opinions of the Jews and the Christians, who respect not the ties either of kinship or of covenant or agreements with regard to a believer, and they have become displeased with arbitration according to, or they have become pleased with the arbitration that is according to the opinions of men instead of the arbitration that is according to the law of Allah and His Messenger. In closing, some of the scholars have mentioned various points that also come under the category of ruling by other than the law of Allah, and that these are also kufr. From amongst those things, it is someone saying the implementation of the law of Allah regarding stoning the married adulterer or cutting the hand of a thief is not appropriate for the present age, because our age is different from the era of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever claims that the law of Allah is not appropriate for this age is claiming that Allah, who is all-knowing, didn't know that people would be living in a time, and therefore His law wasn't suitable for the future, and this is kufr. Such a person claims that the rulings and judgments of the people of this day and age are more appropriate for our times than the rulings and judgments of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that the implementation of the Islamic system is not practical or fitting for the 20th century, this is indeed kufr. Also included in the above category is someone saying, ruling by other than what Allah has revealed is permissible in this day and time, in such matters as legal transactions, punishments, etc. Yani whoever claims that the law of Allah is better or more perfect, but it's also permissible to rule or judge by other laws, whoever claims that it is permissible to rule or judge by other laws, this is also kufr. And this is something which is agreed upon by consensus of the scholars, that it is haram to rule by any law other than Allah, and particularly in those things which are well known to all the Muslims, such as fornication and adultery and alcohol and interest, and ruling by other than the law of Allah. Such a person who claims such of ruling or accepting the judgments of other than the Sharia, that person is a disbeliever, even if he admits that the laws of Allah are better and Allah knows best. Also included in the above category is the idea that Islam is the cause of the backwardness of the Muslim people today. And in those who claim that the reason why the Muslim lands are backward and why they are not advanced and modern like the so-called civilized nations of the earth, of the West, of America and Europe, whoever claims that Islam is the cause of the backwardness of the Muslim people, this idea suggests that if the Muslims would adopt the ways and system of the disbelieving nations like America and Europe, then and only then will the Muslim nations make progress. And this is indeed kufr, because it is only through following the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ and ruling by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the people will advance and make progress in this world. And finally, also included with the above is the claim that Islam is confined to matters relating to the relationship between a person and his Lord, and in religious matters, and does not encompass other matters of life such as business, government, etc. And there is one point that needs to be mentioned here, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, before looking at the questions or taking the questions from the brothers, and that is what has been mentioned by a number of scholars, including Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, in an answer that he has given concerning the ruling of those who rule by other than the law of Allah in detail, and it is published in a book entitled The Fitna of At-Takfir. And Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen has also commented on that answer of Shaykh Nasruddin Al-Albani, and Shaykh Abdullah Aziz Ibn Baz Rahimahullah has also commented on the answer of Shaykh Al-Albani, and the three of them have agreed on the point that I want to close with, and that is that the one who rules by other than the law of Allah, and is a summary of it, and perhaps on another occasion we can sit to read in detail what each of them have said concerning this issue, especially the detailed answer of Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. But they have said that whoever, and this is the summary of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen after he has read what Shaykh Al-Albani has said and what Shaykh Ibn Baz has said, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen has commented on what they have said, and he said, that which I have understood from the two Shaykhs, meaning Shaykh Ibn Baz and Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahumullah, he said, what I have understood from that is that it is kufr, yani to rule by other than what Allah has revealed, if the person believes in his heart that it is lawful, believes that ruling by other than the law of Allah is lawful, that is kufr. As for the one who rules by other than what Allah has revealed, knowing that it is sinful and that it is contradictory to the law of Allah, and knowing that he is sinful in doing so, he said, this is not kufr, because that person has not considered it to be lawful to do so, but he has done so out of fear or of his inability to implement the law of Allah or for some other reason. Therefore, these verses, the three verses in Surah Al-Ma'idah, that whoever rules by other than the law of Allah is either a kafir or a zalim or a fasiq, he said, then these they should be understood that they are referring to three conditions. The first of those conditions is the ruling by other than what Allah has revealed, replacing the deen of Allah and replacing the law of Allah, outright rejecting the law of Allah and replacing it with the law of man. He said this is kufr akbar, major kufr, which takes a person out of Islam, because that person has made themselves as a legislator in place of Allah. The second condition is the one who makes a ruling based on his desires, yani for some personal reason or out of fear or whatever, he makes a ruling while believing that doing so is wrong and that it is haram and that it is sinful. He said this is not kufr, but this, in this case, that person is a fasiq, yani a sinful, disobedient person. And the third condition, he said, is the one who rules with a ruling that is outside the law of Allah due to his intention to oppress or to do wrong or take the rights or to transgress upon the rights of others because he has authority or because he has power. And he said that this one also, this is not kufr, but this person is a zalim, an oppressor or an unjust person. So he said that this is the meaning of these ayats, that it refers to three different conditions. The one who uses the law, and who rules by other than the law of Allah, who makes a ruling that is contrary to the Sharia, because he has authority and power to do it, then he is unjust, he is a zalim. And the one who does so because he wants to achieve something personally, to get some benefit or for a bribe or whatever, then that person is a fasiq, a sinful, disobedient person. And the one who does so believing that it is lawful to rule by other than the law of Allah, and that it is preferable, and that the law of other than Allah is better and more perfect, and he replaces the law of Allah with the law of man, then that person is a kafir who has gone out of Islam. I don't know if we should take the questions from the brothers first or the questions from the handout. Perhaps if we just quickly look at the questions from the handout and then take your questions, some of them might be answered. Briefly discuss the third naqid or nullifier of Islam. Yani, in brief, this naqid, it is that someone believes that the guidance or the rulings or judgments of other than Allah and His Messenger are better or more perfect. The second question, what ayah of the Qur'an has the author given as the dalil for this nullifier? Naam? Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 65, that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by Himself that they will not believe until Allah alayhi wa sallam as the final authority in judgments or rulings or disputes between them. Mention the circumstances under which this ayah was revealed. It was the dispute between Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu and the Ansari man concerning the irrigation of their lands. It was in that dispute in which the Ansari man was not pleased with the ruling of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this ayah was revealed. Mention the circumstances or discuss the two statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his ruling for Az-Zubayr. And in brief, the two statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first of them was general and the second of them was specific. In the first statement he said, Asqi ya Zubayr ardat, yani irrigate your land. In the second statement, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified what the general statement that he made, specifying that he should irrigate his land, yani asqi thumma ahbas, then hold the water until the water reaches its full and then allow it to flow to your neighbor. So the two statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here are not contradictory. One of them was general and the other one was a clarification specifying yani the initial ruling. What are the three factors necessary for complete faith mentioned in the ayah in chapter 4 verse 65? Yani the first of them is that no one will believe until they make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the final judge in disputes between them. The second of them is that they should not have any difficulty or resistance to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have ruled once he has made a judgment. And the third of them is that they should submit to it with full compliance. Mention a proof from the guidance of a proof that the Hadi or the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best of guidance. And the proofs that we have mentioned are many. The first of them, it is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Finally, what is the ruling concerning the one who does not judge or rule by what Allah has revealed? In these three conditions. The first of them, the one who does not rule by what Allah has revealed, preferring the rulings or judgments outside of the Sharia, better. What is the rule of a person? He is a kafir. That it is kufr that takes a person out of Islam. They are not a Muslim. The second condition, the one who does so, who does not rule by the law of Allah, considering the Sharia as better, but considering it lawful or permissible to use another law. Zalim? The one who rules by other than the law of Allah, believing that it is lawful to rule by other than the law of Allah, even though the law of Allah is better, that is kufr. It is kufr. Even if they said the law of Allah is better, but it's permissible to rule by another law, that is kufr. Because Allah has not made it permissible to rule by any other law. It's kufr. Akbar, naam. To believe in the permissibility of ruling by other than the law of Allah is kufr. That takes a person out of Islam. Considering it unlawful or sinful to judge by other than what Allah has revealed, but doing so for some other reason, then that person is a fasiq or a zalim. Yani they are zalim if they have taken by making a false ruling, and they are fasiq if they have done so for some personal benefit, yani in disobedience to Allah, while acknowledging that the law of Allah, yani it is the correct and the right and the perfect law. If there are any questions from the brothers or any comments or corrections, perhaps we can take 5 minutes before we go to the masjid now.
As you have understood from three sheikhs, that Allah has mentioned three intensities, like the first one being kufr and the second zulm and then being fasiq.
No.
So, according to this understood that the kufr is major kufr, the definition which Shaykh Taymiyyah has given. But as I explained previously, this kufr is not major and this kufr is not kufr.
No. The explanation of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, it is about the ayats in general. That these ayats, which says whoever does not rule by, or whoever rules by other than what Allah has revealed, then that person is from the kafirun, or the zalimun, or fasiqun. He has said, radiallahu anhuma, that this is the meaning of it. It is not as you imagine or as you believe that the person goes out of Islam. Meaning not in every case. Meaning not in every case. But in fact, it is kufr duna kufr, meaning that it is kufr in actions, that a person rules by other than the law of Allah. Even if they acknowledge, the details of it is understood from examining those ayats in detail and the statements of Sahaba and Tabi'een and the Sharia in general. It is understood from this. Some of the scholars said that all of these are the same. That it is that in these ayats, the kafir and the zalim and the fasid, that they are all the same. All of it is kufr. And some of the scholars, if we have a chance on another occasion to discuss it in detail, have said that kufr and zulm and fisk, all of them are of two types, major and minor. So that the explanation of Ibn Abbas, it is applicable to each of those ayats. That depending on the condition of the individual, it may be major kufr or minor kufr. Or it may be major zulm or minor zulm. Or it may be major fisk or minor fisk. Major fisk and zulm and kufr is the same. It takes a person out of Islam. And minor kufr and minor zulm and minor fisk, it doesn't take a person out of Islam. And the difference between them, it is based on what the person believes when they rule by other than the law of Allah. If they believe that the law of Allah is preferable and it is better and more perfect, but they rule by other than the law of Allah due to some selfish reason or some personal benefit or fear of those who might pressure them or who might do some harm to them, then this person believes that the Sharia is better. And they believe that what they are doing is sinful and that it is haram. That person is not a kafir, yani major kufr. But it is minor kufr, because the action itself is an action of kufr. But it doesn't take the person out of Islam. If the person believes that the law that they are ruling by other than the law of Allah, that it is better than the law of Allah, or more perfect than the law of Allah, then that is the kufr that takes the person out of Islam. Or if the person believes that the law of Allah is better, and it is more complete and more perfect, however, people have a free choice to rule by the law of Allah or by any other law. This is also kufr that takes a person out of Islam. And the full explanation of it, inshallah, we can discuss it, read through it in detail. Now.
Mujrimun?
Mujrimun, it means criminal. Mujrimun or mushrikun? Hold on the telephone. Now.
Mujrimun is another passage that you didn't mention.
Mujrimun, oh okay. Yeah, mujrimun, it means a criminal, but it might, depending on the context of the ayat, it might have different meanings. It means a person who's disobedient to Allah, who's acting outside of the law of Allah.
Same as fasiqun, but a little worse, right?
Yeah, it is normally used in a worse sense. But in any case, as we said, many of the scholars have explained that this fasiq, as well as the zalim, as well as the kafir, it can be major or minor. So it depends. If we're talking about major fisq, it is also kufr. If we are talking about major zulm, then it is also kufr. It depends on the person, what they have in their heart when they are doing this thing. If they believe that what they are doing is lawful, then it is kufr. Otherwise, if they don't believe it's lawful, then it's not kufr. No. Inshallah. One of the sisters has asked, how can we respond to those people from the non-Muslims who say that Muslims are butchers because they implement the legal rulings in Islam, such as cutting the hand of the thief or killing the adulterer and so on. How do we respond to them? We respond to them by clarifying. Yani not responding to them, but responding to people who might be deceived by them, who might be sincerely believing what they said. As for those people, they know that what they are saying is a lie. They are saying it to confuse people and mislead people. We have no time to argue and debate with them. But as for the masses of people who are ignorant, then we respond to them by making them to know, first and foremost, that the law of Islam, the legal rulings and the punishments in Islam for various crimes, those crimes have been, or those punishments have been prescribed by Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Yani the Quran is revelation. It is from Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And He knows best what is good for the humanity. So our first response is that Allah has revealed it and we accept it. And we are not ashamed of what Allah has revealed. And second response is that if we look at the Muslim societies where the Sharia is implemented, we will find that it is effective. And that crime and adultery and stealing and other corruption is almost non-existent in the Muslim society where these laws are implemented. As opposed to their society where they have man-made laws and it is totally ineffective. It is totally ineffective. The law that they have made by their own mind, it doesn't have any benefit whatsoever, while the law of Allah has been proven to clean the society and to rectify and restore the society and to improve the life of the human beings in this world if it is implemented. And also we can respond to them by saying that the Islamic system is a complete way of life. It is not a religion like what is in the Western society, where religion to the people is only praying, going to church on Sunday or something like this. But Islam is a total way of life. And included in that way of life is a system of punishment for those who violate the law and who go outside of the norms of the society. Part of the Islamic way of life is that those who are needy are given help so that they don't have to steal. Therefore, if a person steals in that situation where they are in need, where they have a legitimate need and they are entitled to help, and they are given help and then they still steal, they should be punished in order to protect the rest of the society. The Islamic laws are based upon the protection of the society. If there are individuals who violate those laws and cause harm to the society, then those people should be punished, even if it looks as though they are severely punished for the benefit of the whole. And the answers to such are many, and these are only what we can say for now.
So then that it's true that if under certain circumstances you could give up the skill and even eat pork if you were starving?
No. And not only, as the brother has said, a person might be forgiven for some crime that they have committed if the circumstances justify it. In fact, in the Islamic law there are provisions in the situation where food is not available, where people are really in need and the government is not able to take care of their needs. Then the Sharia or the punishments of the Sharia will not be implemented in that situation. That is included in the Sharia. That the law, the punishments should be implemented in the situation where people have no reason to commit those crimes, where people are taken care of, where the hungry are fed and the poor are taken care of. Then if they commit the crime, they should be punished. Otherwise, if the people are poor and needy and they don't have food to eat and the state doesn't provide for them as they should, then the punishment cannot be implemented. And that is also part of the Sharia. Inshallah, after the Salat, the sisters have requested that I should return to present the beginning of the lecture that they have missed. So inshallah, those sisters who are remaining after the Salat will return and discuss the initial evidences that we have mentioned. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.